Beloved, you are listening to Grace Life Komi Podcast, a platform commissioned by God to raise men into completeness in Christ Jesus. We believe that you will be blessed beyond measure as you give yourself wholly to this divinely inspired teaching. Through God's servant Pastor Chimdi Ohahuna, grace to you, Jesus is Lord.
Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen and amen. We give God thanks and praise for another time of fellowship in His presence. This is Miracles of Jesus Bible Study. We began it 23rd of March 2023, and we have looked at three of the miracles, and we are on the fourth miracle now. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. We just began the fourth miracle last week, and we are continuing today. Amen to Jesus. We want to appreciate God for the privilege to have journeyed this far. And we thank God. One of the things that God has blessed us with is the grace to journey on one particular teaching for a period of time. We did Understanding the Finished Work of Christ, and we were by the grace of God able to run it for a year. We looked at the Holy Spirit, able to run that for a year. Amen to Jesus. We are looking at the miracles of Jesus, and definitely this will be more than a year. Amen to Jesus. And it's been awesome because we have been learning quite a lot. We want to appreciate all our listeners from all over the nations of the earth. The good Lord bless you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for being a media evangelist. Thank you for using the share buttons in every platform you have been sharing. The Lord bless you. Amen to Jesus. And please keep doing the great work you are doing. Amen to Jesus. And once again, we always tell you, you can communicate to us via our media platforms, on Grace Life Komi, the podcast, and all the social media platforms. And also, you can communicate to us with our email, chimdiohahunaministry@gmail.com. Praise God forevermore. The giving platforms are also available for you. Whatever the Lord lays in your heart to give to support the work, this work, do well to do it, and the good Lord blesses you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, we'll be looking at the fourth miracle, which is a miracle of what? The miracle of feeding the 5,000, as rendered by the account of John. Then an awesome miracle, and last week we took off from a very beautiful platform. You know, when the Lord began to reveal what He was revealing, I was so blessed, because, you know, the purpose of this teaching is for us to see the heart of the Father concerning every miracle. You know, over the years we've just looked at miracles and just, okay, Jesus opened the blind eye, Jesus healed the lame, the paralyzed, and everything like that. But the miracle has a lot of truth hidden in it. Bible says in Proverbs 25 verse 2, the glory of God to conceal a matter and the honor of kings to search it out. So our duties as kings and priests is to search out these truths that are hidden and get to see what God is saying concerning these miracles. Praise God forevermore. And the more we see this, the more we operate in the miraculous. Praise Jesus forevermore. All right. In our previous study, we learned that compassion gave birth to this miracle. Is that not so? We learned that the miracle was birthed by compassion. It was not just, one of those things that happened. And are we able to understand that if compassion is not in place, we'll discover that we would have the loaves, we'll have the fishes, amen to Jesus. We would give thanks, but at the end of the day, we will not see the multiplication. Compassion is what brings about the multiplication. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. And that's why studies like this are very important. Now, it is a stated fact that something always gives birth to another. Praise God forevermore. Nothing exists on its own. Something always gives birth to something. What we know basically is that God created everything. The only being that was not created but created is God. Amen to Jesus. But from creation's point of view, everything comes from something. Every being comes from somebody. Whether animals, plants, and inanimate objects, we all came from God. Are we getting what I'm saying? So even in the operations of creation, something comes from something. Praise God forevermore. We've understood that this miracle was better by compassion. But we need to understand also something in this study, that compassion was better by something too. Amen to Jesus. Praise God forevermore. Now, so same way compassion gave birth to this miracle, something also gave birth to what? Compassion. What gave birth to compassion in Jesus? Something gave birth to this compassion. Something triggered this compassion. There is always a trigger. Are you getting what I'm saying? Like I always say, there's always something for everything. There's always a trigger for everything. Nothing just happens like that. If you go through life, you discover that something was triggered. When we look at situations, when we look at challenges, we don't look at the challenge. We look for the trigger. Amen to Jesus. When you can deal with the trigger, you have dealt with the what? With the challenge. But if you are dealing with the challenge, it's just like cutting the branches of a tree and expecting the tree to die. Amen. When you cut the branch, another branch will come out again. Praise God forevermore. The tree won't die. In fact, when you cut the tree from the stem, it won't die still. Another one will come up again. Praise God forevermore. So for you to be able to kill the tree finally, you have to uproot it. Deal with the trigger. Deal with the cause. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so when we are studying things, we need to look for causes and effects. We need to look for triggers. When we can understand triggers, we can duplicate the miracle. Are we together? Once we can understand triggers, the purpose of this study thus far has been to help Christians be able to duplicate miracles in their life. That's the purpose of these studies. Amen. And we have stayed on it because we want to learn. Praise God. Jesus said, "These signs shall follow them that believe." He didn't say these signs shall follow apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. No. He said, "It shall follow them that what? Believe." And why will he follow them? Because they believe. And why do they believe? Because they have what? They have heard. They have heard. And they have understood. Praise the Lord forevermore. Now, so that's why we are bringing out the trigger so that people can hear, understand, and believe. And with that, they are good to go. Amen to Jesus. So what gave birth to compassion? Mark chapter 6 verse 34 makes us understand that. It gives us the answer. It says, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion." We ended with this last week. Amen. We are starting off with it this week. "And was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things." This verse of scripture has been what we have been analyzing since, and we'll keep on it. Amen to Jesus. Praise God forevermore. Now, what gave rise to compassion in Jesus? What gave rise to compassion in Jesus was that the people were as what? Sheep not having a shepherd. That triggered compassion in Jesus. They were as sheep not having what? A shepherd. So, we are going to be looking at sheep having no shepherd today. The trigger called sheep having no shepherd. That's a very serious subject because on a larger scale, we discover that Christians have not looked at this. Are we together? And I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about both Christian leaders and the followers. You know, I look at a lot of people many times and I discover that there are some, because for as it were, we as Christians, we are all followers of Jesus. Even the person you call your shepherd is a follower of Christ. You get what I'm saying? We are all followers of Christ. And a great man of God said something. He said, "In shepherding, the shepherds sometimes contract the sickness of the sheep." Are we together? See, that's the reason why you see that shepherds, pastors, in no time, they begin to behave like sheep. They begin to show the signs and sicknesses of sheep. Are we together? It's one of the risk with shepherding. Praise the Lord forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. So at the end of the day, we are all sheep. And we are following the good shepherd, who is the person of Jesus. Are you getting what I'm saying? Amen. So now this particular teaching is not for shepherds, as it were, who they call shepherds, pastors and ministers and every of that. It's for every born-again child of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Everyone who is a born-again child of God. On a larger scale, we discover that some Christians, they would rather stay in a fold, are you getting what I'm saying, where they are not what? Having the shepherd. I always say something, that every true leader in the fold, in the Christian fold, every true minister of the gospel in the Christian fold is a good leader. Are you getting what I'm saying? Is a good shepherd. Are you getting what I'm saying? Is a right shepherd. But we have what you call wrong sheep under the right shepherd. Are you getting what I'm saying? Every good leader, everyone who is following Jesus, who is serving the Lord Christ and shepherding people, mentoring people, is a right leader. But not every sheep is meant to be under every shepherd. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, so if you are meant to be under a shepherd and you are not under that shepherd, you are a wrong sheep under what? A right shepherd. And it's a misfit. It's just being like a square peg in a round hole, and it's not going to work. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. And when that happens, you discover that you are not going to be enjoying what you are meant to what? Enjoy. Amen to Jesus. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. So now the trigger for compassion in Jesus here was what? He saw sheep not having shepherd. Are we together? In other words, he saw a neglected sheep. Are you getting me? Now, there are two reasons why sheep could not have shepherd. Either they were neglected by their shepherd or they rejected their shepherd. Are you getting what I'm saying? Either they were neglected by their shepherd or they rejected their shepherd. Whatever the case may be, they are not having shepherd. Are you getting what I'm saying? Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. And we're not going to the sheep, the different kind of shepherd and every of that, because that's not the focus of this teaching. If you go to John chapter 10, Jesus was talking about him being a good shepherd. And you see, Jesus talked about the good shepherd knows his sheep, and the sheep and the voice of the sheep knows the voice of his shepherd, and the voice of a hireling, the sheep will not what? Will not listen to. And you know, when you go into pastoral ministry and leadership in church ministry, we begin to talk about the shepherd and the hiring, and then we can talk about a shepherd that neglects the sheep, and then we can also talk about sheep that neglect shepherd. These are all different things, but we're not going into all these details because that's not the focus of this study. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's not the focus. We're not going to do it. If you want to go into that, you can study on it, or if the Lord helps us, we can prepare a teaching separate for that. But that's not going to be the focus. But it's very dangerous when sheep are without shepherd. Are you getting what I'm saying? And we're going to be looking at that. All right. Jesus and his disciples traveled about 4 or 5 miles directly across the lake to the area of Bethsaida for a retreat. They actually came for a retreat. Are you getting what I'm saying? They came to retreat. Which last week we understood why Jesus needed a retreat. The pressures were high. And he needed a retreat. Are you getting what I'm saying? Luke chapter 9 verse 10 says, and the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them, and they went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. They went what? Privately. They went privately. That means they needed an alone time. They needed privacy. Are you getting what I'm saying? So obviously a retreat they were going for. Amen to Jesus. But they wouldn't allow them to have a retreat. Amen to Jesus. I understood why compassion was a heavy trigger last week. Because this was meant to be a retreat that turned into a crusade. A retreat turned into a gospel campaign because of compassion. Praise God forevermore. Now, when Jesus and his disciples arrived, people saw them coming off the boat. Immediately, news of their whereabouts spread rapidly. Because now, we're talking about a population density of not up to, I don't think, over there. Are you getting what I'm saying? Not up to 10 million. Are you getting me? All right. Because the whole of Jews that left Egypt were about 3 million. All right. And then if they have grown, maybe 10 million. But for 5,000 men to come out like that, man, that was a rapid spread of information. Without social media, my brothers, my sister, without social media, that is the power of what? We are going to be looking at it. Amen to Jesus. And people came from all directions to gather around Jesus. If you look at Matthew 6, verse 33, it says, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him. Many knew him. And ran afoot thither out of all cities. They ran on their foot. They ran on their foot. From all the cities around, and outwent them, and came together unto him. A pool that made people run on their foot. Are you getting what I'm saying? When will we get to that level where we will bring Jesus to town, and people will run on their foot to come to see Jesus? In a generation of social media, where we have to depend on social media, and yet people are not still coming. People are not still coming. But in this time, Jesus walked and he needed privacy. He was not ready to preach, but people ran with their feet to come and look for him. Lord, take us there. Help us get there. Where we bring Jesus to a city and other cities come to that city because of Jesus. If we are not seeing that yet, it means that there is something we are yet to do. I get what I'm saying? We understood compassion last week and we began to pray for compassion. Are you getting what I'm saying? But there's something we need to see today and we have to pray concerning it. Because when these things are in place, we don't need to use social media to spread Jesus. Are you getting what I'm saying? When they are in place, we don't need to use social media to spread Jesus. People will spread it by themselves. Are we together? People will spread it by themselves. And we will keep praying until these things get in place. Amen. And we'll keep following the Lord until these things get in place. Praise God. Amen to Jesus. Wow. So this means that either they were looking for Jesus due to his absence for the while, or they were what? Always searching for the next new place Jesus is. Is that two things? Is that they were always looking for, they were looking for Jesus because where did Jesus enter now? Because Rabbi said they left privately. So but where did Jesus enter? Jesus could not have a private life. Are you get what I'm saying? He could not have a private life. They were always on him, searching for him, looking for him. See, if we actually do ministry the way Jesus did ministry, we will not have private life. So we will not have private life. Are you get what I'm saying? And I'm not here to criticize anybody. Amen to Jesus. But if we actually do ministry the way Jesus did ministry, we will not have private life. We will not. They were always looking out for Jesus. So for the few days, they did not say, where did Jesus go to? How can Jesus just disappear like that? How can Jesus just leave town like that? So they were always looking out for him, or they were looking out for the new place he is. Like Jesus, the Bible says, Acts chapter 1 verse 8, how God anointed Jesus with Holy Ghost and with power, who went about. So Jesus' ministry was a went about ministry. It was a moving ministry. I remember somebody, you know, he was a very sound teacher of the Word of God. I knew him when I was a teenager, and then he was also on my campus. And when they looked at me, he said, I see this your leg. They move a lot. I say, yes, they move. Because, man, I'm a moving person. It's some few years back I started sitting down. I move. Say, they move a lot. Say, yes, you are obeying Jesus. I say, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power. Who went about doing good? And God was, he said, you are moving, your legs are moving a lot. God, you are obeying, you are like Jesus. You know, so Jesus was always on the move. And so they knew that you are seeing him today. The next day, he may not be in that town again. So they were keeping track of Jesus. Now, in a time wherein people did not have GPS, are you getting what I'm saying? They didn't have GPS, but they were using physical GPS to look for Jesus. What about in our time? So we have GPS. Are you getting what I'm saying? Oh, it means that there is something we need to contract. There is something in us that is in Christ in us that has to come out for people to start using GPRS to look for us. Where is he now? He has not been in town for 3 days. Where is he? That's the Jesus we're talking about. And this is the Jesus we have to reveal. That people will not be comfortable when we are not in town. They have to look for us. Because Jesus told them when some of the disciples left him, he told Peter, wouldn't you not leave? He said, where will I go, Master? For you have the words of eternal life. Where will I go? We must come to this point in our walk with the Lord where people will tell us, we are following you. We are following this Jesus you are following. And the Lord will take us there in the name of Jesus. Amen. Whichever the case was, Jesus was a sought after amidst the found. There were scribes there. There were Pharisees there. There were Sadducees there. There were religious leaders there. They saw them 24/7. They saw them even before Jesus came on the scene. But how come these men were found, but Jesus was always sought after? This is what we're talking about here. This is the Jesus personality. This is the Jesus anointing. That people will see other people, but they will say, it is this one we are looking for. Where shall I go, Lord? For you have the words of eternal life. Where will I go? Glory to God forevermore. So Jesus was sought after amidst the found. Same way, every follower of Jesus is and must be a sought after amidst the found. Are we together? So we must be sought after amidst the found. People must seek us because we have the words of eternal life. They must seek us because we are going about doing good. They must seek us because we are revealing Jesus everywhere we are. This is the mystery unraveled, the mystery behind the multiplication of the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It's not some plenty things. When we get it right, things will be right. Are we together? Praise God forevermore. The reason for this was the compassion Jesus had and has. Compassion attracts people like a magnet. Are we together? Compassion attracts people like what? A magnet. Compassion attracts people like what? A magnet. It attracts people like a magnet. I know some of us, some of the times may say, but I've been showing compassion, but people are not being attracted. Don't give up in compassion. Are you getting what I'm saying? I remember while I was pastoring, you know, the first church I planted in Nigeria, I saw so much wickedness from, you know, a particular family that God had used me to show, to bless so much. One day, even the man just came to church Sunday morning and rained insults on me. I called the wife. I said, "What did I do? What did I do?" The man was under the influence of alcohol. He rained insults on me. You know, I blessed their life so much, but all I got in return was different level of and operations of wickedness. And at the point in time, I was showing so much love to the people, and the people were not even responding to the work, let alone to me. And I began to think that I did not know how to love. So I went for a minister's conference. And then as we started, the person who was preaching, the man of God was preaching, said, at the point in time, prayer, I said, "How do you know that you are a loving pastor?" He said, "When children are attracted to you, you are a loving pastor." Ah, I said, "God, thank you." You don't know what that small... You see, sometimes you go for a conference, thousands of people are there, and you don't know... People don't know what somebody wants to hear. That small statement, it may look like just an insignificant statement, but what it did to me, I went back with a changed mentality. So when all the adults were misbehaving, I didn't have a problem again. You can misbehave for all I care. Why? Because I noticed that the same family that they were treating me in so much evil, their children, once they come to church, I am at the altar, the children will run from the door and hug me. That was what the children were used to always doing. So whether they are talking bad about me at home, whether they are talking good about me, the children did not care. They're always coming to hug me. I said, so if the parents are wicked, the children love me, I'm good to go. Parents, continue doing what you are doing. Are you getting what I'm saying? That word alone saved me a great deal. And it didn't make me stop in my act of compassion. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. You know, and Jesus, compassion is a magnet that attracts people. You may be thinking that you are showing compassion and people are not being attracted to you, but look very well. There are people that are attracted to you. For me, it was just those children that were attracted to me. And it made me continue my show of compassion. It's a magnet. Anywhere you go, to be attracting. You don't need to call them, they'll be attracted. You get what I'm saying? Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Right. When Jesus saw these people, he did not see an impressing crowd like we do in recent times. Are you getting what I'm saying? Even that will be us in recent times, when you see the crowd of 5,000 men alone, then plus the women and children running to maybe 10,000 or more people, say, "Man, the crowd is much." Like I have been in the ministry for years, we also know when you stand before crowd, the anointing of your life just amplifies. It amplifies. You see yourself start operating in dimensions that you can never explain. You that were tired before you held the microphone, once you see crowd, you start firing. You know when 3 hours, you are still preaching. You are still laying hands on people. 5 hours, you are still ministering. Because crowd knows how to spur and ignite the anointing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Crowd makes you feel impressed. Praise God forevermore. And so more often than not, when we are impressed by crowd, we may not even know what the crowd needs. That's why you see a minister of the gospel, you see him before a crowd, and he's preaching something that the crowd does not need. You are preaching what they don't need at all. Something off. Are you getting what I'm saying? Like a man of God said, a man of God said, you come to church and you're telling them about don't wear makeup, don't wear this, don't wear that. When in that congregation there are people who are fighting cancer, fighting depression, fighting addictions, fighting differences, and you are telling them what to wear, what not to wear. How's that going to help them? Or people are fighting depression, cancer, and all that is, I am teaching them things that are way out of here. Are you getting what I'm saying? Teaching them about dimensions and things that cannot help them overcome depression. Are we together? Now, why? Because on a larger scale, crowd impresses us. Are we together? And it begins to spur and trigger what we have inside. You see some men of God, when they are before a crowd, they'll forget their notes. Are you getting what I'm saying? They'll forget their notes because crowd knows how to wave you off. It takes a lot of maturity in the walk with the Lord and sensitivity to the Spirit to be able to come before the crowd and hear what God is saying for the crowd. Sometimes some are prepared, but when they see the crowd unprepares them. It throws them off their balance and they begin to go haywire. Are we together? Now, so Jesus did not see an impressing crowd. Because let me tell you, truth remains that if you are in the preaching ministry, crowd is always impressing. Crowd is always impressing. Jesus did not see an impressing crowd. Rather, he saw what? A sheep lacking leadership and guidance. Lacking spiritual leadership and guidance. You see, when you see right, your actions will be right. More often than not, people who are impressed by crowd, they actually do not give the crowd what God wants them to have. Are we together? How and what we see the crowd as determines how we respond to the crowd. Are we together? Yeah. Praise God forevermore. Now, so if you see a crowd and you see an impressive number, are you getting me? An impressive number, it will determine how you respond to the number. Praise God forevermore. But if you see a crowd and you see the right God's point of view concerning them, you also determine how you respond to them. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Basically, our response to both individuals and crowd is based on our perspective. Is that not so? When you see somebody and you have had a wrong perspective about the person, no matter how much the person tries to prove a point, you would never what? You never respond rightly to the person. And that's just the basic truth. Now, so Jesus did not see an impressing crowd. Are you getting what I'm saying? He saw a crowd that was lacking what? Leadership and guidance. Spiritual leadership and guidance. Spiritual leadership and guidance. And this is not just for church leaders alone. This is for every child of God. Why? Because we are facing crowds everywhere we are. In your home, in your community, in your family. And the list goes on. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, it got to a point in one of the missions field we went to, and another missions field we went to. At the point, my wife told me, see, don't get angry with these people. They don't understand. Don't get angry with them. My wife told me, kept telling me, don't get angry. And I got to a point where I started saying, it's true. I'm not to get angry with people. Because I now began to see rightly. When you see that people need help, are you getting what I'm saying? You will not call fire down to consume them. The disciples of Jesus came to a city where Jesus was not received rightly. And two of the disciples told Jesus, let us call fire to consume these people for not receiving you. I said, do you not know? He answered them, said, do you know what spirit you have? Don't you know the spirit you have? Where we are, the spirit we have is a spirit that sees the crowd rightly. Jesus knew that these people are behaving the way they are behaving because they are sheep without shepherd. These people they are rejected by ministry because they don't understand things. And so why would I see consume them for their foolishness? Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. All right, so it's very important the way we see the crowd. And this applies to every born again child of God. It's not basically for church ministers or church leaders. It's for every born again child of God. You are going to have the crowd come your way in different dimensions. You are going to have crowds. Some you may not be having 5,000, but you may be having 5. You may not be having 5, but you may be having 2. But it's still a crowd, and you have to see them with the right perspective. Now, Jesus was moved with compassion, which made him teach the people because he perceived that they were like sheep without a shepherd who needed spiritual direction and guidance. Amen to Jesus. Now, Matthew 9, verse 36 says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. What gave birth to compassion in Jesus? He saw that these people were like sheep having no shepherd. His perspectives, his view of the people gave birth to compassion in him. So let me help you understand something. Compassion does not just come on its own. Are you getting what I'm saying? Compassion is not self-triggered. Are you getting me? Point of view is what triggers compassion or doesn't trigger compassion. Very important. So now, if we are not going to view rightly, that's why some people say, you see some people and they say, they are not moved by compassion at all. Are you getting what I'm saying? Why? Because they are not viewing rightly. And the same location where they came and nothing, they were not moved by compassion. Another person comes to that location and is moved by compassion. Why? Because he saw rightly. I'm telling you the truth. The same crowd that Jesus fed, the same 5,000 Jesus fed, if another person has seen them, don't forget, one of the disciples told Jesus, let us allow them to go. You get what I'm saying? Let us allow them to go. And Jesus said, how would they go? They'll faint on the road. Why? Because here he saw them from the beginning, what was determining the compassion that came out of it. So basically, our level of compassion is based on our point of view of people. It's as simple as that. The more our point of view grows to God's point of view concerning people, the more our compassion level increases. Amen. And if we will never see people the way God sees people, we will never have the compassion of God. And we'll never expect to experience this kind of miracles. Are we together? So, you see, what God does over the years is, for us as children of God, is to make us see the way he sees. I told people I mentored in the church then, I told them, until God makes you feel what he feels, he cannot use you in a particular level. Are you getting what I'm saying? He has to make you feel what he feels. He has to make you feel what he feels. He has to make you feel what he feels. He has to make you see what he says. Oh God, I'm suffering. I'm going through a lot in this. He's making you feel what he feels. What he feels. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because if you don't feel those things, you will not think like him. You will not view people rightly. And any small opportunity you have, you will call down fire to destroy people. Any small opportunity you have, you kill people. Any small opportunity you have, you roast people. Are you getting what I'm saying? Any small opportunity you have, you curse people. Any small opportunity you have, you destroy people. Praise God forevermore. Because you are not seeing the way God sees. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, compassion is the end result of divine point of view. Yeah, simple as that. Is the end result of God's point of view. Lord, fill my heart with compassion. First, pray, Lord, let me see the way you see. Let me see people the way you see people. When Jesus prayed for that blind man, the man said, I see men like trees. He said, you are not like seeing the way I'm supposed to see. That means you cannot have compassion yet. Are you getting what I'm saying? If we are still seeing men like trees, we cannot yet operate in the compassion of God. And what did Jesus do? He prayed for him the second time. And he had full sight. Say, now you can operate in compassion. Some of us as Christians, we are still seeing men like trees. That is why we see, because of the way we see them, we cannot be compassionate to them. Can't we see that today we are still talking about logging, deforestation. And despite the so much cry on deforestation and logging, people are still committing the act of deforestation. And we are seeing that, we are telling people that the more you deforest, the more you fell trees, the oxygen level in the air to be reducing. They say, no problem. All of us will die one day. So if it's tree that want to tree that want to kill us, let tree kill us. Yeah, people are still felling trees because they don't see them as any what? As living things. We need to create furniture. Let's go and kill them. We need to create builders. Let's go and kill them. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that's the same way many people are even looking at human beings. Are you getting me? We need to buy furniture. Let's go and kill people and buy furniture. When somebody will kill somebody for iPhone, is he not looking at human being as tree? So when Jesus saw the man seeing people, he said, no. If you see people as tree, you kill them like tree without any remorse. No, you have to see now human beings as human beings. Are we together? And until our vision becomes God's perfect vision, we cannot experience God's compassion. Praise God forevermore. So this is a journey of growing in our vision to see people the way God sees people. To see people the way God sees people. To see people the way God sees is a torturous journey, I must tell you the truth. It's full of pains. But don't forget that Jesus went through all the pains because he was seeing us. Are you getting what I'm saying? When he hung on the cross, it's you and I was seen. He's not himself. That's why I could say, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they are doing. Lord, compassion. I see these people, they don't know what they are doing. Do you beat a baby? A baby, to a large level, does not know what he's doing. As he grows, he begin to spank the baby. And some people, They beat people that don't know what they are doing. It's not done. Amen to Jesus. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. All right. Mark, in his account, tells us that he began to teach them many things. As we see in Mark 6, verse 34, he says, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things." You see, you don't understand what compassion is. When you see somebody who wants to teach you many things, know that it's compassion that is moving him. I've been teaching for years. I remember I will carry the first set of mentees. When I began pioneering the ministry, I would teach. They got tired. They got tired of teaching. Remember in the previous city we were before we came to this present city in this mission field? On Sunday, I teach from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., only 1 hour break, 5 hours teaching. The Friday before that, I'm teaching for 2 hours. They ask me, "What are you doing in church? What are you doing in church?" See, it's compassion that will make you teach many things. Because you are overburdened with compassion. You want to just release everything you know on them at once. Everything you know on them. It's maturity now that is helping you. Before, if you sit near me, I teach you, till you get tired of teaching. Reminds me of one of my lecturers on campus. He taught me auditing. When he's teaching us like this, he will teach and teach. He said, "You ask us, do you know this?" We say no. He will stop what he was teaching before and start teaching that thing he was doing. Then as he's teaching that one, he asks us, "Do you know this?" We say no. He will stop that one and start teaching on that one he asks us. Now, when you take your notes at the end of the day, you are confused. Because all the notes are incomplete. He stopped here for this topic. That time we used to be frustrated with the guy's lectures. Because he taught us auditing, but he was a chartered accountant and he was a long time fellow. We're frustrated by the Lord, but it's now understand that it's compassion that was worrying him. When you see, the Bible says, he taught them many, it's compassion of making you teach and still you are exhausted, but you are still teaching. You are tired, but you are still teaching. It's compassion. But the church does not understand this. So when they see people who are investing time into teaching, I say it's because they're looking forward to this. No. It's compassion that is moving us. Remember that time I was so compassionate that it will pain me when I'm teaching you and you're not listening. And it will pain me when I'm teaching you and you don't want to do what I'm saying. I get frustrated. When the Bible says Jesus stood in Jerusalem and he looked over Jerusalem and he wept and he said, how long to cover you the way a hen will cover his cheeks, but you will not allow me. So compassionate, but the people did not understand his compassion. Compassion makes you teach many things. You'll be teaching, and it looks like there's no end to your teaching. How do you know a compassionate person? He's a teacher that has no limit. He keeps teaching. And so maturity began to make me understand, I beg, you need to know who to teach, who not to teach. Are you getting what I'm saying? But many of the times we don't know compassionate people in the church because we don't know the signs of a compassionate man. Somebody who lays hands on you to receive a miracle is not as compassionate as somebody who teaches you how to get a miracle. You know, when I started the Bible studies, I told them, I'm going to teach you how to get miracles. They came for the in-person for how many? A couple of weeks and months. They got tired, they left. Not because I was not teaching good, but because the teachings are too much. And I told them, I'm not going to babysit you. I'm not going to spoon feed you. And I stood my ground. I won't babysit. I won't spoon feed. I spoon fed people in ministry. I babysat people in ministry. And I see the end result. When you are done praying for them to get miracles, tomorrow they come and meet you again. Then next tomorrow, you see how messed up your life will be. You'll be frustrated and like, so with all I did. A compassionate person will not give you fish. A compassionate person will teach you how to fish. So if you meet compassionate people, they will teach you a lot, bamboozle you with knowledge. And what is happening in the church today is that we, the Christians, are reducing the number of compassionate leaders we have. We are reducing it. We are frustrating them. So we are telling them, stop teaching us. I better just lay hands on us. Wave magic wand. Let us receive this miracle and go. And the Lord have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Luke, in his account, mentions that he spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and that he accompanied his words with signs, healing those in need. Luke 9, verse 11 says, "And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them. and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healings. So what he did was, he spake unto them the kingdom of God. Another Luke says he spake unto them the kingdom of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Mark says he taught them many things. So the things Jesus was speaking about the kingdom of God, they were many. No wonder the people fainted. Man, bro, you don't sit under Jesus. You don't sit under Jesus. You get tired. Are you get what I'm saying? You get tired. He will teach you plenty things. Plenty things. No wonder they fainted. Jesus was talking, The Bible says they speak many things. Even the disciples could not even document the things he was saying. Jesus is too much. You are blowing our mind. I heard you are overweighing our head. These things you are saying are too much. They couldn't even document. They only say he said many things. What are the many things he said? They did not document it. Even disciples themselves were tired. But they didn't understand that is the definition of compassion. Compassion wants you to know all it knows in one sitting. If you can know what I know, that's compassion. If you can know what I know, that's compassion. But today we have a generation of Christians who hate compassionate ministers. They frustrate them out of business. And they like manipulative ministers. And they like transactional ministers. Are we together? I can lead you to pray. In over the years, I've even learned that some prayers I don't even pray again. If you leave me those prayers, I cannot pray them again. Why? Because it's growth in my walk with the Lord that made me know that at this level, I'm not in this prayer level again now. You understand what I'm saying? But some Christians remain there forever. Why? Because they will frustrate compassionate teachers out of their way. So over the years, we discovered that compassionate ministers are reducing in number. Praise God forevermore. Jesus didn't bamboozle them. He was feeling them. They started fainting. You know, I remember then when the lecturer will be teaching and we'll be getting tired, the students will be getting tired. And then we'll say, what's the matter? I say, we are tired. He say, are you the one teaching? How can you are sitting there, me, I'm standing and you're getting tired? I never understood what the lecturer was saying until I started teaching. Long hours, the word of God. And I see people yawning when I'm teaching. I see them itching, moving their bum. I'm like, what's the problem? I've been the one teaching for 3 hours. How come you're tired? You see, when you're under the influence of compassion, you don't get tired. It even operates in a secular system. See, when you see a compassionate lecturer teaching you, you'll be getting tired, but he's not getting tired. The one about you is a spiritual person. You teach and teach and teach, and you don't get tired. You don't get tired. You keep talking. You drink water. When you're getting dry, you continue talking. Because it's compassion. What compassion does is have everything I have at once. What took me 20 years to learn? Learn it now. Learn it in one go. Sometimes compassionate the ministers are the most frustrated ministers. They are the most frustrated. Because sometimes what they are looking for is not rational. The people cannot have what took you 20 years to learn. They cannot learn it in one sitting. But it's compassion that makes you want to release it all. I'm not teaching theory, I'm teaching experience, practical. Bible says he taught many things. The guys, they were tired. They fainted. They moved from being tired to start fainting. You know, say, man, these guys, you don't know, it's only 3.5 years. I have to do this thing and go. I only 3.5 years. I want to deliver, I want to download. 3.5 years. 3.5 years. When the Lord opened the podcast ministry for me, it was one of the greatest blessings to my ministry. In my teaching ministry, podcast is one of the greatest blessings I've ever had. I have stood and tell people, take as much as you can. They'll be looking at me. Take what? They tell you are looking for. Give a miracle, let us go. Learn this. They'll be looking at me. So thank God for podcast. It's taught there. The people that are around me that don't want to learn it, some people in America will learn it. Are you getting what I'm saying? And it's still for generations to come. People can always get it. Compassion drives you to want to give everything you have suffered to learn on the platter of gold. On the platter of gold. On the platter of gold. I listened to a great minister of the gospel, and he said, he buys books. He said he went for a program, and he said a particular businessman wrote a book, and he had been in business for about 40 years. He told the secretary, run for that book and buy that book instantly, buy it. He said, "What?" He said, "I'm going to buy his experience for just some few dollars." What took him 40 years to learn? I'm buying it for some few dollars. Come on, give me that book right now. When you are in a generation that nobody will buy books, nobody will even read books. And we're crying, and we're complaining, and we're saying the fathers are not helping the sons. I remember what a man of God said. He said, in our time, we didn't have the internet. He said, we had to go and trek to look for books. He said, we borrow books from ourselves, Christian books. Borrow books. We trek from one street to another, looking for books, exchanging books. He said, but look at your generation. Everything is at the click of a finger, and yet nothing. And yet some of us are still pouring with compassion. Yet the people are saying, you are giving us too much compassion. Are we together? So we need to understand this, that Jesus' point of view was what triggered compassion. Are we together? And we are having a lot of problems in church today because people are not seeing rightly. They are not what? Seeing rightly. People are seeing. Most ministers are impressed with the crowd. Most ministers of the gospel are impressed with the crowd. And that's why the end thing today is your sitter capacity. Sitter capacity is the business of the day. And with the sitter capacity, can you be able to count people in that sitter capacity that are duplicating that anointing? I get what I'm saying. I get what I'm saying. If you cannot count people who are duplicating it, 12 at least, then the sitter capacity is a stadium where every Tom, Dick, and Harry comes to watch a football match. And the football match is the showman on the altar. Are we together? And the crowd you are watching. How we view the crowd determines whether we get compassion or not. Are we together? And when I'm talking about, I'm talking about minister of gospel, I'm talking about every Christian. How you view your family, how you view your street, how you view your community determines whether compassion will arise or not. When you see them as a very disciple, they are yeah, people, they are useless people. See them, they are just compassion will not rise up. One man looked at his country and he saw a people that had to be redeemed. And he knelt down and he said, Lord, give me Scotland or I die. John Knox. He saw a nation. He saw a people that have to be redeemed. And that welled compassion in him. What are we seeing today? What are we seeing? What are we seeing? And how are we seeing? Are we seeing the way Jesus sees? Or are we seeing what we want to see? I always tell people, ministry is a father's business. It's not a secular business. I can never merchandise people. If compassion is not welling up in me for you, I can't deal with your ministry. It's as simple as that. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because it means I'm not seeing you rightly. Some people see the crowd as money. They see them as money. Some others see them as different objects of different things. Are you getting what I'm saying? They see them as different objects. And some of us, even in our local, in our communities, in our homes, we are seeing people as objects instead of seeing them as sheep that need guidance and leadership. How we see matters a lot. How we see matters a lot. It is our sight that determines our hearts. I have a lot to say today, but I can't say them because I believe the Lord wants us to stay here. God told the prophet Jeremiah, what said thou? Said, I see the rod of an almond tree. He said, you have seen rightly, for we hasten my word to perform it. When God says you have seen rightly, it means you have seen what I'm saying. I get what I'm saying. Until we see how God sees and what God sees, we cannot see rightly. Question is, how are we seeing our families? How are we seeing our communities? How are we seeing the people in our locality? How are we seeing them? Jesus looked at the crowd and he didn't see objects. He didn't see money. He didn't see impression. Jesus could not be impressed by a crowd. He saw sheep without shepherd. A people lacking guidance and leadership spiritually. And that triggered compassion in him. And he began to say many things.
You see, when you have leaders who talk to you, talk to you, talk to you, talk to you, talk, even if it's your father or your mother or your husband or your wife, who is always talking and talking and talking, trying to tell you things, exactly things that will help you, and you complain, you don't know you are doing yourself a disfavor. Because it is compassion that is making him talk like that or making her talk like that. I get what I'm saying? Why? Because he has seen you with the heart of God. That's why he's talking and talking. The worst thing to ever do is to shut out a spouse or shut out a parent or shut out a sibling who is telling you something good or shut out a leader who is telling you something that has that's from God. That's the worst thing you can ever do. Yeah. You are shutting out compassion because he has seen you as a sheep that has no shepherd and he wants to step in. There are people that I want to just... So the Lord, one of my mentees, I saw something about the mentees, that my mentee some weeks ago, but I couldn't talk to him. I couldn't talk to, because he has over and again shut me out and shut me up and shut me out and shut me up. And I'm like, God, when I woke up, my heart was beating. I said, God, what did I do? What is this one? When I see dreams, God help me interpret also. I know the meanings. And so, but that one, I say, God, even the way the person is, I don't even know what this one means. Because when somebody sees you with the heart of, with the eyes of God, and starts speaking and speaking with compassion, and you shut the person out, you are doing yourself a disfavor. And so for weeks, I've not been able to tell the person. Sometimes I remember the thing, and I just say, God, I don't know what it means. Me to be saying, I don't know what it means. God, I don't know what it means. Because sometimes when I even have a dream that I don't know what it means, I talk to the Lord and I get interpretation. I get what I'm saying? A man of God sent me a message one day. I was like, he saw this, saw that, what does it mean? I just, by the Holy Spirit, gave interpretation. I was like, thank you very much. It was a man of God. So I gave interpretation. And I was like, wow. But me, I've not got interpretation for that because the young man has shut me out despite all my compassion of years. Yes. And you don't know the you see, I remember when I was trying to get somebody's attention and the person would not listen to me. And I had a dream and I saw something. Later on, I saw the person died. And I said, but Lord, you did not show me. I was saying, Lord, you did not show me. Some weeks after, the Lord reminded me, oh, what are you talking? I showed you. The Lord reminded me what he showed me. But this person would not listen to me. So my compassion was shut out. Are we together? Now, see, it's very important. I don't know who I'm speaking to there. But you don't know who you are shutting out. Like they always say, for spouses, if your husband or your wife is no longer talking again, you are in deep trouble. You are in deep trouble. I get what I'm saying? Say it's no longer talking again. You are in deep trouble. For children, your parents are no longer talking again. My mom always say, a child left to his way shall bring shame to his parents. A child, so I can never forget that one. So me, don't leave me to my will. Even if I know I was a stubborn child, still correct me. I get what I'm saying? Because I know that you are correcting me because of your viewing point. How you see me. My mom that time, she will beat you. She will spank you. She will say, it's because of the love I have for you. That I'm beating you. I say, how can you be beating me because of love? I never could understand why she will beat me because of love as I was a child. But when I grew, I understood that it was actually because of the love. If that man didn't beat me, hey, I would have been a mess in life. I get what I'm saying? We must have God's viewing point. Stop seeing people as trees. Stop seeing people as money. Are you get what I'm saying? Stop seeing people as objects. Stop seeing people as items. Because some people are items. They are what you trade to get money. Especially in the political system, people are what you trade to get position and get money. People are no longer people. People are now wood that you fell to create furnitures, to build houses. Stop using people. Start seeing people as Jesus sees people. This is not a message for leaders, church leaders alone. It's a message for every born again child of God. It is until our point of view becomes the point of view of God before we can start operating with the heart of God. Say, I want to have the heart of God. Do you have the eyes of God? Until you have the eyes of God, you cannot have the heart of God. What's here now? God had to ask him, what do you see? When God wanted to give the land to Abraham, he told him, look. As far as your eyes can see, sight is the gateway to heart. Sight is the gateway to the heart. Among the five gateways, the most serious gateway is sight. That is why what you feel, you may forget. Are you getting what I'm saying? What you taste, you may forget. What you smell, you can forget. Are you getting what I'm saying? But what you see, it creates an impression in the mind that can last for a long time. Are you getting what I'm saying? Sight is the strongest gateway to the heart. Before you cry for the heart of God, cry for the eyes of God. Cry for the eyes of God. Lord, let me see men the way you see men. That's what we bet compassion. David Livingstone, when I heard his story, I said, God, please forgive me. Lord, forgive me. I have sinned against you. As a missionary, I've not gone through 1 millionth of what he has gone through. And I will not go through them. Yet, he told them, when I die, bury my heart in Africa. And yet, he died on a kneeling position, praying for the same Africa that he suffered a lot. Why? Because he had the eyes of God. And so, it brought about the heart of God. Many of us are looking for the heart of God, but we have refused to have the eyes of God. How we see men determines how we respond to them. How we see people determines how we respond to people. And this is a clarion call to Christ. Because many of us have been breaking bread. Breaking the bread, they are not multiplying. We have been breaking the fishes, they are not multiplying. We have been thanking, they are not multiplying. We have been praying, they are not multiplying. We have been telling them to sit down in 50s, 100s, they are not multiplying. Nothing is multiplying. We have been telling disciples to share that. Yeah, they are not multiplying. Sir, you don't start from the end. You start from the beginning. Before you start thanking God and collecting the bread and fishes first and thanking God and breaking them and sending disciples and telling their disciples telling them to sit down and share it down. Brother, see first. See. Sister, see. And this is a call to every one of us. We have to start seeing the way God sees. What seest thou? How do you see your husband? How do you see your wife? How do you see your children? How do you see your community? What seest thou? How are we seeing? Are we seeing them from God's point of view? Because it was a sign that God had that he said, Jesus, go and die for these people. When sight is in place, the heart will be in place. When the sight is of God, compassion is the next thing. Because once you see the way God sees, you will just become compassionate like God. Compassionate. You don't need to pray for compassion. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, good. Pray for compassion. But before you start praying for compassion, let's pray for the eyes. Let's see with the eyes of God. Let's see people. Shanamakata. Let's see people with the eyes of God. I know many of us, we have been through a lot in life. I know many of us have gone through a lot, but it doesn't change it. Let's still see people with the eyes of God. Let's still see people that God, Bible says, it's not the desire that any would perish. It's not the desire that any would perish, but that all will come to salvation. John 3:74, God sent not his son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That was what God saw. How do we see? Bible says he saw them like sheep having no shepherd. How are we seeing people around us? How are we seeing people in our community? How are we seeing people in our society? How are we seeing people in our environment? If we can see like Christ, compassion will be bettered. And I tell you, great and outstanding miracles will come out of our lives. We are praying today, Lord, help me see like you. Jesus, help me see men like you. Every time we talk about the eyes of God, you know what we do in church? The eyes of God for a bigger house, a bigger car, a bigger this. No, the eyes of God to see men as we are meant to see men. Lord Jesus, help me see people the way you see people. You are talking to the Lord this moment. Lord Jesus, help me see people the way you see people.
Now is your moment of salvation. If you are yet to make the Lord Jesus Christ your Lord and personal Savior, we request that you say this prayer along with many others now. Say these words: Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, I repent of my sins, and ask that you forgive my sins. I believe that you shed your blood on the cross, died for my sins, and rose again in the third day. Today, I invite you into my life today. Wash me by your blood, make me your own, and till eternity be my Lord and personal Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' precious name.
For your love gift of any amount to Grace Life Kami Podcast, kindly use any of our giving channels available to give in dollars. You can send to Universal Merchant Bank Ghana. Account number 033-154-551-2013. SWIFT code MBGHGHAC. To give in CDs, Universal Merchant Bank Ghana, you can send to account number 033-254-551-2017. To give in Naira, you can send to Ecobank Nigeria, account number 554-102-0592. Also, for further inquiries, you can call us on +233-54-594-7132. Or, send us an email via chimdiohahunaministry@gmail.com. Today, remain ever blessed.
We believe you were blessed listening to this teaching from God's Word. May your soul remain ever refreshed and revived. We would love to hear your praise report today. Beloved, remain connected to Grace Life Komi Podcast. Jesus is Lord.